So the student, the scholar of the law, asks Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why do you think the student is asking this question? What must I do to inherit eternal life, teacher? Well, let me tell you this. With experience being a teacher, with experience being a student, rule number one, when students ask questions, they're usually up to no good. This is true. They try to stump the teacher or act like, "Oh, can you explain that to me again? I'm kind of confused." Try to waste time in class or try to get out of doing homework or try to negotiate, right? To do the least amount of work possible, right? You've done that as students. And if you're teachers, you know when your students do that, right? And it's the same thing in the gospel today. The gospel says that the student, the scholar of the law, asked the teacher, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He asked this, he did it to what? To test Jesus. That's what it says in the gospel. He did it to test Jesus. He was trying to push Jesus to the limit. What's the least? What's the minimum I got to do to get to heaven? What's the minimum that I got to do to get to heaven? Who is my neighbor? He asks. Are you my neighbor? Neighbor one, neighbor two, neighbor three. I just got to love 1, 2, 3 neighbors and I'm good to go. Take me to heaven. Have a nice day. But can you imagine this kind of what I would call minimalistic attitude? What's the least that I got to do to get an A? You know, I'm a student. The teacher gives me the syllabus. Okay, I got to do these assignments. I don't need to do that. I can get an A minus. It's fine. What's the least amount of work I got to do to keep my job so I don't get fired? What's the least I have to do to keep my wife happy? What's the least I have to do to keep my husband happy? The sense of a minimalistic attitude. But Jesus responds with a story. He doesn't actually tell you who is the neighbor. He responds with a story to teach us how to be a neighbor. He says a guy gets robbed, beaten, and is half dead. And while the priest and the Levite, they just kind of pass him by on the opposite side, the Samaritan traveler, not only does he take care of the guy, but takes him to the inn. And not only does he take him to the inn, but pays for it. And not only does he pay for it, but he says to the innkeeper, what? You know, I gave you these 2 silver coins, but if you spend more than what I have given you, don't worry. I'll pay you on my way back. You have got to be serious, right? Raise your hand if you would do that. Let me fast forward this case, 2013, okay? So we have many means of transportation right here, close to the church, you know, VTA, buses and trains and all this. Let's say on your way to church or after church or during this whatever weekday, you see somebody who's maybe looks homeless, okay? Maybe he's not all there together. Maybe he's got this alcohol stench. You know, maybe he looks half dead. I don't know. Raise your hand if you would not only give him some money, but take him to a hotel. You know, a place to say, "I'll take you to the hotel." And not only take him to the hotel, but take out your credit card. So, you know, whatever you want. Room service, you know, spa, whatever you want. There it is. You know, I'll pay for it on my way back. Raise your hand if you do that. I wouldn't do it. Right? But that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get at today in the gospel. Everybody and their moms has heard of love God, love neighbor. You don't even need to be Catholic to hear that phrase. Love God, love neighbor, golden rule, be nice to other people, do to others the way you want people to, you know, unto you, right? Everybody has heard of this. Everybody knows it. But many of us have a minimalistic attitude, a minimalistic view of what it truly means to love God and love neighbor. And Jesus is telling us with the story of the Good Samaritan, when you love your neighbor, Don't just do the minimum. You gotta give it all. Go beyond the call of duty. Go that extra mile. Let me give you an example of this. Last year, I was at the airport with some of my buddies, catching a flight. And nowadays, it's very easy. It's very easy. You don't even need to do anything. All you need is a confirmation number, right? And you just go to one of these computer kiosk things. You just punch in the confirmation code and the boarding ticket prints out and you're just good to go. Very easy, very simple. And I did my thing, punch in the code. I got my ticket. It's printing. Good to go. And then I see this elderly couple who are not so technologically savvy. You know, and they're over there, husband and the wife, and they're having a tough time. Tough time. The guy's like punching the button, honey, it's not working. You know, it deletes, and where are my glasses? I can't. I told you to bring the glasses. They're having a tough time, struggling. And guess what I did? Guess what I did? Oh, you think too nicely of me. I'm nice, but not that nice. Okay? I'm like, okay, I mean, I guess they're having a tough time, but, that's why they have employees at the airport. You know, that's why they have people working at the airport. Let them do their job. I got a flight to catch, you know, so I just print the thing and I'm on my way. But my buddy, Andrew, okay, he's a good Samaritan. I'm the priest. Okay? My buddy, okay, let me tell you, this guy, Andrew, not only does he help this elderly couple get the ticket, but, I mean, they got these three heavy bags. Get the ticket and carries their bags the whole nine yards. And Andrew, he can tell that I was not all that amused with his good charitable works, you know. So I'm whispering to him, good job, buddy, you know, and I didn't know you work at the airport now, no. How much they paying you nowadays? And Andrew, he was not all that amused with my smart comments. And he says, it tells the elderly couple, oh, and by the way, my buddy Steve, he's a priest. I went, oh boy. Now I really gotta be nice. So what do? I carry the other bag, the other hairy bag. We go to the gate, take him to the gate, which is like all the way on the opposite side. And afterwards, you know, I was talking with Andrew afterwards, and I'm supposed to be the nice guy. I'm the priest. What's going on here? You know, what makes you so nice? What makes you to be a good Samaritan? What makes you go that extra mile? And he responds, compassion. Compassion. Seeing myself through the lens of that elderly couple, okay? How difficult it must have been to use a computer or to move those heavy bags. I had to help them. Similarly, in the gospel, the Samaritan traveler, after seeing that half-dead man, was moved with compassion. And how many times in the gospel do we hear Jesus, after seeing a sick man, a man or somebody possessed, somebody with an illness or a disease, he was moved with compassion. And after all, it is compassion that led God the Father to send his only Son for our salvation. But the problem is, the word compassion is one of the most misunderstood words that we have. People think of compassion as, oh, you poor little thing, boo, 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 oh, oh. Bye-bye, have a nice day. That's not compassion, that's pity. That's pity. The word compassion in Latin literally translates to, get ready, to suffer with. The word compassion means to suffer with. To put on the lens of compassion. To put yourself in that other person's shoes. Then your heart is moved, not just to do the minimum, but to go beyond the call of duty. To go that extra mile. So this week, homework, okay? Don't be like that student scholar of the law asking, "Oh, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's the minimum I gotta, who is my neighbor? Neighbor one, neighbor two, neighbor three? I just gotta love one, two, three, good to go? Yeah? Teacher, what's the minimum I gotta do?" This week, don't ask the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Rather think about how I can be a neighbor. This week, pray for the gift of compassion. What does compassion mean? Pray for the gift of compassion to suffer with in your heart, so that when you encounter your neighbors out in the streets, out at work, summer camp, Bible camp, wherever, that you may respond through that lens of compassion to suffer with, to transform our hearts to be a good Samaritan. And perhaps this week, this will allow you to do something beyond the call of duty, something extraordinary, to go that extra mile.